Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Thank you, Russ, and good evening, everyone. Hello, and welcome, welcome, welcome. My name is Deborah Mathis, President and CEO of E2S Solutions Professional Coaching here in Dallas, Texas, and the radio show host of Energy for Success. Tonight, we are going to have a jam-packed, informative show. This is the second series of our Build Your Brand with LinkedIn series, and I've invited back our world-class career coaches to join me. We have Ben Carter, Divya Parikh, Tawana Ross, and Trina Ramsey. For tonight, listeners, if you want to call in with your questions, please call in at 646-716-9397. In our first series, we talked about how to create a purposeful profile in LinkedIn. So before we get started on this episode, I'm going to do a roundtable and ask each of our coaches to introduce themselves. Let's start with Ben.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you, Deborah, for having me back. I appreciate it. We had so much fun last time. It was so informative. Everyone, I am Ben Carter, and I am a life transformation coach. I call myself a life transformation coach because I believe that we can all transform our lives one incredible decision at a time. And I believe that transformation affects even our life purpose and our career. I'm passionate about people doing what they love to do and identifying what that is. I am CEO and founder of Live LLC Coaching. Live is an acronym for Leap Into Victory Every Day. And so to all the listeners out there, I hope that you're ready to claim victory even over LinkedIn, because our sole objective is to see everyone, you know, pursue and prosper their best lives by way of a very, very prosperous career. So once again, thank you, Deborah, for having me. And hello, ladies. I'm happy to be back in such great company.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Ben. Next, Tawana.
Hi, Deborah. Thank you so much. I am Tawana, and I'm a career coach. I specialize in social branding, which basically means that I help my clients master LinkedIn so that their online brand actually matches and it's consistent with what people see with their offline brand. And my clients are professionals within their 40s and 50s, and they haven't quite figured out their purpose yet. And on top of that, they've underestimated how detrimental it is to have invisibility on LinkedIn. So if they're not on LinkedIn and not active, that actually hurts their brand, and they didn't realize it. So they come to me to help them figure out what their purpose is and then actually market it on LinkedIn. And I am the CEO of Get Over Yourself Career and Life Coaching. Thanks again so much, Deborah, for bringing me back. I had such a great time in our first round, and I'm looking forward to tonight.
Thank you, Juana. Next, we have Divya.
Thank you, Deborah, for inviting me again. It was such a pleasure to be with every one of you and having such pleasure in such scintillating company. And I learned so much, so I'm really excited to be part of today's show, hoping to share what I know and hoping to learn. I am a leadership wellness coach, that focuses on confidence, because confidence is the bottom line of everything. Think about it. If you had a clear vision, you knew what was stopping you, and then you had an action plan to remove those obstacles, you would be showing up as your best self in every area of your life. And that's what we are all here for. We are here for your success. We are here for your progress to the next level in your lives and your careers. Thank you, Deborah, again for having me on the show.
Thank you, Divya. It's always a pleasure. And Trina, please introduce yourself.
Hello, and hello to everyone. And absolutely, I echo what everyone has said. I'm really excited to be here with the gang again. We had such a great and insightful and informative show last time, so I'm really looking forward to round two. My name is Trina Ramsey, and I am the founder of Perspectives Plus Coaching, and I'm in the Washington, D.C. metro area. And I am a career and life coach also, and I specialize in personal transformation and career transition. So I really work with people who are thinking about what's next and really ready to start paying attention to who they are authentically so that we can together design the future that they really deserve. And I really love being in this space, and I also work with people around promoting themselves and their careers and career advancement, and I really, really believe in the power of LinkedIn. So it definitely is a pleasure to be part of this series, and thank you, Deborah, for conceiving of the whole concept and having us all on again.
You're more than welcome. When we get together, we share so much good information that we want to share with our audience here about LinkedIn, so I'm going to go ahead and get us started. So on this episode, we're going to discuss the benefits of growing your network. You will learn the importance of connecting with people, why you should join groups, along with the difference between endorsements and recommendations. Again, listeners, whether you are a recent graduate, professional, or business owner, thank you again for joining us for the next 60 minutes and my guest panelists on the Energy for Success podcast here. If you are a current LinkedIn user, please open your profile and follow along. So, Tawana, I'm going to start with you, and we're going to talk about connections and introductions. I see some people have 500-plus connections on LinkedIn. Why is that so important, or is it?
That's a great question, Deborah, and I've heard both sides of the debate there. I've heard that it's not really important because LinkedIn actually tells you not to connect with people you don't know. So some people see a large network as being needless, and I try to remind my clients when they bring up that question that at its core, LinkedIn is a search engine. And as a search engine, it requires data. The more data you input, the better your results. And one large piece of data that LinkedIn uses in all of its algorithms would be the size of your network, so the number of connections you have. And the more connections you have, the higher you appear in search results. So once you hit 500 connections, LinkedIn automatically bumps you up in that list of people within search results. And that's one key reason to actually care about being in that category. But from a perspective, perception standpoint, rather, perception is everything. And when people open your profile, if they see that you've got 23 connections, yet you've got 10 years of work history, something doesn't balance there. And that impacts the perception of, that someone might have of you. So that's another reason to be cognizant of how many people you have in your network. But the last thing to be aware of and always keep in the back of your mind is that LinkedIn is a place for networking. So if you were going to an actual networking event, you wouldn't stand in the corner and not approach anyone. you would hopefully at a networking event be courageous enough to go meet people, talk to people, and LinkedIn is essentially the same thing just in the digital world. So 500 connections or more is important from a search standpoint. It's also important from a perception standpoint.
With the perception standpoint, Tawana, let's say we do have the 500-plus connections, yet I've seen where LinkedIn has assigned or categorized our connections with first and second levels. So I want to ask you, what is the difference between first and second level connections?
Well, your first level connections are the people that you are directly connected to as a result of either sending them a connection request that they accepted or they sent you one and you accepted it. And your second level connections are the people that those folks are connected to. So if you connect to Bob, Bob's connected to Sally, Sally is your second connection. And that's significant, especially going back to your question about 500 plus connections and whether or not that's important. It really is, because the more people you have in your first level connections, the larger and the wider your network becomes. And obviously, the larger your network becomes, the more visibility you have. So for people that are using some of the features like the publishing aspect of LinkedIn, when they publish an article or even with a post every day, the chances of that being seen by multiple people or a lot of people is greater when your first level connections is a large base. And it really just has a domino or a ripple effect, if you will. So the larger your first connections, the larger your whole network. And in the long run, that really helps someone with their overall strategy of being seen and being networking on LinkedIn.
Very, very good point. And I also notice when I look at my connections from time to time, I even see third level connections, yet they're not visible. Is there a reason why LinkedIn has them hidden?
Well, yes. One reason is because their business model states that they want you to have a very small network. So they give you full access to your first and second level connections. However, to encourage you to pay them monthly revenue, they give you just bits and pieces of your third level connections. Now, if you were a paid member of LinkedIn, depending on the package you have, you would have more access to seeing more data within that third level of connections. So for them, that's where their revenue stream lies.
Very good point. So that will explain why they're not visible. Thank you for that. But I will tell you, we've had this conversation offline before. Being a coach, I don't want my competitors to comb through my connections, so I keep them private. Is that a good practice, or is it considered bad practice?
Well, the one thing I remind my clients first off when I get that question is keep in mind LinkedIn is a networking site. So networking means stepping out of that comfort zone and actually interacting with people. And a large part of that, especially on LinkedIn, is the ability for your connections to see who you're connected to. Now, the fact of the matter is, if your competitor wants to know who you're connected with, they're going to find that out whether you make your connections public or not. If you made your connections private, there are still ways for people to get around that and find out who's within your network. So rather than, again, going back to perception, rather than possibly damaging the perception of your willingness to network, I always encourage my clients to be open, especially on LinkedIn. You know, Facebook's a different story. But on LinkedIn, when it pertains to your career, especially because you have so much control over your own content on LinkedIn, be open to sharing your connections, because that's where the true networking lies, is where people see someone that you know that might be able to help them in a situation. So having the ability and the visibility into that list of your network, I think, is a real win-win for all parties.
Okay. With that said, Tawana, is it possible to introduce two people on LinkedIn?
It sure is. I did it this morning. In order to do that, you've got to be connected to both people. And on LinkedIn, if you were looking at someone's profile, there's actually a button at the top, and if you click that or hover over that button, that icon, it's an upside-down triangle, you'll see something that says Share Profile. So, Deborah, if I'm looking at your profile and I want to introduce you to Trina, I would simply click on Share Profile. And when I do that, it allows me to personalize the message as to why I'm introducing the two of you, which is actually really important. And I can also input Trina's name and send that off. And both of you will get that same notification so that both of you will see why I'm introducing you, and then you can take it from there. It's a great feature, and again, it supports the whole notion of networking because there are people that you know would benefit from having a relationship with each other, and it really shows that you know how to engage LinkedIn and leverage it to make those people visible to each other and bring them together. So I wholeheartedly encourage people to do that.
Thank you, Tawana. Thank you so much. I want to shift the gears here a little bit as we continue to look at our profile, and that is going to the section of skills and endorsements. There is so much buzz around different thoughts of skills and endorsements. Some thought is that it's important. Other thoughts are is not as important. So, Ben, I want to ask you, how are endorsements different from recommendations?
Well, Deborah, that's actually that's really a good question. And it's funny that you ask that because I read a few articles, and I read one specifically written about almost 2 years ago that was published through Forbes magazine that almost lumped both endorsements and recommendations into the same pile, if you will. So they called an endorsement somewhat of a recommendation, but it's not really. An endorsement is more or less of what I would call a nod. It's saying, yes, you know, you are capable of doing X, Y, Z. So if I endorse you for a skill, hopefully, fingers crossed, that it's in a skill that you have bared witness to that I'm able to accomplish. So one of my skills is change management. And change management in relation to the IT field, where at one point I put together a change management application. And so if we work together and you come and you say, I'm going to endorse Ben on that because I was a part of that process, I know this skill to be true. That's the endorsement saying, yes, this skill does exist for Ben. The recommendation is a traditional recommendation, and an endorsement could lead to that. You could potentially go, or I could ask you, Deborah, I see that you endorse my change management. Would you be willing to recommend me as change management supervisor or engineer? So the endorsement is like the first tier of getting what used to be a traditional handwritten recommendation. But, you know, like I said, it depends on who you speak to. Some folks might look at the endorsement as the recommendation, but it's not really. It's just more or less saying that, listen, I endorse that you're capable of this skill, but I don't know if I'm necessarily recommending that or physically, personally standing behind saying, yes, this is what you do, this is how you did it. Or, you know, a recommendation is a little bit different, but an endorsement is an absolution that, yeah, you know, this person is capable of this skill. And that one of the things that I've also, and Tawana, you might have a little bit feedback on this as well, and maybe even Trina as well. With the endorsements, you want to be very careful there because I had this conversation with a few people, and I don't have as many connections as some folks do. And the conversation that we had is, well, you know, at some point it becomes like a like, you know, it's like a like on Facebook where people will just endorse you because they're connected to you. And at some point it loses its weight. So it doesn't necessarily carry the same weight. And so I came in and I said, you're right, you know, or you could be right with that point of view, but that's where a recommendation might come in. So, you know, that's how I look at the endorsement and the recommendation. I know that was like 18 answers for one question, Deborah.
Well, with that said, Ben, I want to put it to you, and I can open this up to the panelists as well. Does it matter who endorses me on my profile?
You know what? Interesting. I would say yes and no, right? So I hate to straddle the fence, but I would say yes and no. And I say yes and no because if we're using this as a professional profile, then I think, like I mentioned, you know, a few seconds ago, the connection based on who you're connected to might hold a little bit more weight. So if it's obvious that the person is that's connecting me, you know, they've got the same last name, they're my brother or my sister, then as a hiring manager or someone who's looking to bring, you know, maybe have me work as a consultant, I don't know if I would, on a professional level, hold that in the same regard as I would someone that was connected to me based on previous work experience or, you know, one of you guys where we host a radio show together or something like that. So I think yes and no. I think it depends on the hiring manager, the type of company, the type of role that you could possibly be looking for. You know, if it's something that I would consider to be uber professional, very, you know, in my career, I've worked in both areas. So very Wall Street, which is very, you know, suit and tie, then I don't know if I would have my sister go in and endorse me or recommend me as a help desk manager. How would she know that, right? So I think, you know, yes and no. And I think based on what it is that you're gearing yourself towards, I think if you are on LinkedIn and you're a catering professional, it might be a little bit different, right? You know, but someone in a professional, we still have a traditional outlook on things. So I would say yes or no. Yes and no, excuse me.
Okay. Now, with that said, most of us have had previous positions in different fields. So I would put the question out there, what our listeners may be thinking is that I have skills lived from my last job in another field. Is that hurting me or is it helping me?
So listen, this is the way I look at it. I love that question, right? Because, and I'm approaching it from a personal standpoint, and then I'll get into the professional piece. For me, when I approached LinkedIn, I had not really, really invested a lot of time in it. And then when I saw that there was this area for skills and endorsements, it took me back to, oh, it's like my paper resume where on my paper resume, I ran out of space to put all of my actual skill, what I had acquired. Now, I'm working on maybe my third or fourth career, and what I would say now, depending on the person and how they're using LinkedIn as a platform, sit down and identify what type of role it is that you're actually going for and what you're doing with LinkedIn. For me, it was the opportunity to introduce myself as a CEO and a business owner. But what I realized that a lot of what I've done in my past have a lot to do with what I'm doing now. So professionally, even though I work in the IT field, I'm a technical trainer, which means I spend most of my time in front of a camera, in front of a live audience, speaking and teaching all day, which as a life coach and a public speaker is an excellent skill. So when I sit down and have the conversation with some of my own clients and they say, you know what, I started out working in a restaurant, I kind of want to get away from that, and move into customer service. I'm on the fence. And so I say, you want to extract whatever you did in the restaurant business that was customer service related. So of course, you know, and I'm being very, very tongue-in-cheek here, you don't want to put on your skills and endorsements that you flipped or you sauteed well. You want to identify what you did. So when you worked in a restaurant, what were you responsible for? Were you responsible for ordering and purchasing? And if that's the case, then you have to extract the customer service skills from that and then list that as a skill on your LinkedIn profile. So you want to be very strategic about how you define your skill. And it takes you outside of what the profession is on a surface level. So I worked in a restaurant. Yeah, you worked in a restaurant and you probably cooked 75-80% of the time. But as a cook or as a sous chef or as an executive chef, there are other things that you did that you had to pull from other skills. So that's when I say, you know what, you have to be open-minded and come outside of the box of what you used to do and absolutely incorporate all of those skills, but be very strategic about it. You have to plan how you want this LinkedIn profile to look and work for you. When people look at my LinkedIn profile, they see a lot of skill, but guess what? As a curriculum designer, as a business analyst, all of that has spilled over into what I do as a coach and how I build my coaching practice. But I didn't know that before I actually sat down and put together my LinkedIn profile. So I absolutely think that, you know, if you're transitioning from one profession to the next, please, please, please invest time in extracting what your skills were from the previous profession and trying to identify how they're going to work for you in the new profession.
Ben, that's a good segue to the next question I want to ask you to wrap up on skills and endorsements, and that is, what advice can you give on choosing the right skills to list that will really showcase not only your technical skills, but also give people a visibility of who you are?
I love that question. I really, really love that question. Whenever I speak to hiring managers, when I sit down and have a conversation with my director about people that we're going to bring in for my department, one of the things that I hear a lot is it's very difficult to make yourself shine on paper. It's very difficult to make that resume burst. So one of the things that I would absolutely have people do is sit down and look at what your accomplishments were. So I have a few clients who aren't aware that their accomplishment is in direct correlation to their skill set. So if you were a warehouse manager or if you were a supervisor for a customer service department, then you have to be able to identify what your accomplishments were. So your accomplishments was managed a $750,000 a year budget for our West Wing in the warehouse. You have to put that as a skill because now that skill spills over into you being able to develop some financial intellect, right? So I would always tell people, look at all of your accomplishments over the last 5 to 15 years in your career and identify how that matches the skills that you'll find on LinkedIn. And so look at your accomplishments first. And if you sit down and say, well, I don't have any accomplishments, that's not true. You know, because if I sit down and think about it, when I started out my career, I could think back now off the top of my head. Yeah, one of my accomplishments was that when I started out in the IT field on the help desk, I took 275 calls in one day, and I had an 80% resolution in my queue. So you absolutely do have some accomplishments. So unlike, and we say this all the time, other social media, you know, LinkedIn, you want to be very strategic about. And this is your opportunity with skills to actually kind of show off a bit. This is your opportunity to kind of, for those folks who come from the school of thought that I don't necessarily have a lot of Ivy League education, but I sure have a lot of experience and a lot of skill. This is your opportunity to kind of kick butt.
That is phenomenal. Thank you so much, Ben. It is a half hour into the show. I want to take a quick break here to share upcoming shows here on the Life Coach Radio Network here. On March 1st at 9 p.m., we have Mark My Words with Certified Life and Business Coach Mark Schau. On March 2nd at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have Walk Your Talk with Leanne and Jennifer into Nidhi Hill, a 1930 adoption film. On March 5th at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Leanne will also be hosting another show, Walk Your Talk with Leanne and Roberto. On this show, they will discuss healing your relationship to work. I also have an upcoming show that will air on March 12th entitled Being Yourself, Unveiling Your Mask in the Workplace. This is Deborah Mathis here with Energy for Success with my phenomenal panel guest of career coaches. For listeners who want to call in with questions or comments, please dial in to 646-716-9397. You're listening to Energy for Success on Life Coach Radio Network. At the top of the hour, we have heard from Tawana and Ben share with us on our profile the reason why we should build up our connections, as well as the importance of having a strategy concerning skills and endorsements. This next half hour, I'm going to turn the mic over to Trina, and let's talk about recommendations. Recommendations seems as if this is the cream of the crop. This is major for your profile to help you stand out and showcase on the LinkedIn platform. So, Trina, I'm going to ask you, what is the benefit, first of all, of having recommendations?
Absolutely. And this is one of my favorite features of LinkedIn, honestly, because it allows for some depth and some personality to add some dimension to what otherwise might be a bit like an online resume, which I think is powerful in and of itself for LinkedIn. So the recommendation is basically the opportunity to have a little teeny recommendation letter posted right there on your profile, right near the job that it is referred to, and it is written in the voice of the person who is doing the recommendation. And you have the opportunity to solicit those recommendations of people you know who are going to say something nice about you and who you clearly have built a track record with and a professional rapport, that this is not just, oh, please hire, you know, Trina because she's a nice person, but that there's going to be some depth there and they can put something significant in to that will really help your profile to stand out quite a bit.
With that said, so if I'm hearing you correctly, recommendations are pretty much lend credibility to your skill and work history. Is that correct?
Very much so, very much so. And I am one of those people who the endorsements is a fairly new feature on LinkedIn. And I definitely believe in making sure you have your mix of skills represented. But I do feel like in some cases, people just endorse you because they support you and they feel good about you as a person. Because I definitely have had people endorse me for skills that I didn't even list, like international relations, which I know nothing about. And I'm kind of like, well, where did that come from? You know, and I always like when they say, do you want to add this to your profile? No, I don't, because I don't do that.
You know what?
Go ahead.
That led into the question I was going to ask you. What if I don't like the recommendation someone wrote for me?
Oh,
well, continue
you can,
on.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Well, I hope that. That's funny. You should pick somebody that you know is going to give you a good recommendation. I mean, this is not the situation where you go to, you know, your dragon lady or your the boss that you were butting heads the whole time and then ask that person for a recommendation because you don't know what you might get, right? But in this case, and I'll actually, because this is... This is somewhat of an obscure feature, so I'm going to walk you through how it works. What you can do, and for those of you who are actually following on LinkedIn, if you go to your profile and then you go to your actual experience section, you can see, well, mine has recommendations for many of my positions because I actually went on a campaign. There was one point at which I was really ready to leave one organization, and I had really embraced LinkedIn as a way to showcase myself professionally. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go for each of these positions. I'm going to go and ask people to give recommendations. They don't actually happen without getting prompted for the most part. Every once in a while, someone just decides they're going to say something nice about you, but that's not usually how it works. You actually have to go through the effort, just as if you are going into law school or any other advanced degree, and you have to have someone actually to write a letter for you that is going to say something specific about your qualifications. This is a kind of a very small version of that. So way down at the bottom of your experience section, there is let me find it now. There is a section where you can say, ask for a recommendation. Now, see, I purposely went and looked because I wanted to make sure that I could point this out very easily. But I think I went into edit mode on my profile. So let me go back in. But it's not at the top. It's actually at the bottom. So you have to scroll down. If you're looking at your profile and you're looking at your experience section, go down to where your last position is. And then there is a portion where it's under skills. That's where it is. Way down the bottom. So your recommendations are all the way down at the bottom, below skills and below education. And then there's a whole recommendation section. And that is where there's a button that says ask to be recommended. And when you click that button, then it actually will give you a little menu box. And it's going to say, what do you want to be recommended for? And then all your past positions will pop up. And then when you click there, it's going to say, who do you want to ask? And then you can actually go and search for your connections. And for each connection, and you can send several at a time, but for each connection, it's going to ask you your relationship to that connection. So it's going to say, did you supervise this person? Did they supervise you? Were you a peer? Were they a board member? Were they a client? Were you a client? Were they a teacher? Were they a mentor? So it really is, it gets very specific. And then it gives you the opportunity to write a message. And you can actually make it so that the message goes out to several people at a time, but it is only one message per person. So it's not like sending a group message that everybody sees that there's 10 people that you're asking. It's only going to go to one person. But for me, what I find more effective is that it gives you the opportunity to go ahead and write your own personal message to that person. So if I was going to go to Deborah and say, Deborah, would you recommend me as a radio host? And I would choose Life Coach Radio Networks, and I would choose that we're peers, and then I would fill in exactly what I am asking for a recommendation for, and then I send it. And then it actually shows up in the other person's mailbox in their messages on LinkedIn, and it gives them the opportunity to write right there, to type exactly what they are asking you to be, to what are they asking to recommend you about. And then the cool thing about it is when you get them back, it's you actually hear these things that you may not have ever heard from that person on a firsthand basis about their work with you, or why they really appreciated working with you, or why they really appreciated being your client, or vice versa, or being your professor. It really is a great way to get someone else other than you saying, this person is great, and that's why you should take a look at them. Sorry, that was really long.
I just want to remind our listeners that we will also be hosting a webinar here that goes more in depth and probably offer a in-depth class on LinkedIn and how to really build a robust profile. So stay tuned for that, which will be coming up pretty soon here. So Trina, I want to ask you too, with asking for recommendations, is it equally important to give recommendations?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. In my case, whenever someone would respond to my request for a recommendation and actually write a recommendation, then I would actually, and I think it actually gives you the opportunity right there to do the same thing for them. But I think it is, it's, you know,
wonderful.
It's one of those things where it's a nice thing to be able to be in service to another person. If you really felt good about the work that they did, then you should share it.
Also, too, what I'm finding out as well with recommendations, Trina, and the team can open up here as well, is that I view recommendations like a digital referral. It also keeps us mindful of our career legacy. We move in different jobs throughout our career life, and it's also important to keep in mind how you transition as you go on, because you never know when you may have to ask a manager or a business associate for their recommendation. So it's vital that you build excellent, positive relationships. Would you all agree?
Absolutely. Could not agree more. Could not agree more.
Wonderful. Thank you,
Deborah,
Trina.
By the way, I found the answer to your question.
Oh, what is that? What about like the recommendation?
Can I refuse someone's recommendation? There was one that was pending here for me, and you have the option to add to your profile. So if you really don't like it, you don't ever have to put it on your profile. And then there is a button that says ask for changes. So you can message back. So say they got your title wrong, or say they did something, you know, something's like, oops, you didn't quite get that right, and then you can actually message them back and say what is more appropriate, or suggest that they ask those changes. So,
Oh, that's great to know. Thank you for researching that, Trina. Miss Divya.
Yes, ma'am.
When it comes to groups, LinkedIn provides us the opportunity to join up to 50 groups. Yet, as a busy coach, I don't know about the rest of you guys, but I know that I'm doing good to join one. And yet, LinkedIn does provide the opportunity to join associated groups that may be of interest that supports your profession. So what I want to ask you, Divya, is how many groups should we consider joining? What kind?
Great question, Deborah. So the thing is, if you are like a bunch of LinkedIn users, initially when I started out, if I found a group that looked interesting, or if I saw someone else in my network was part of that group, I would never bother to check it out. I would just go ahead and join it. And as you keep on going it, by now, you've actually joined more than 20 plus groups. And if you're busy, you kind of forget about them. So that's the routine situations. However, let's take a look at the ideal situation. The key thing is knowing that which groups to join, because these groups can be relationship building, they can be a platform for showing your expertise, and they can be a platform to build solid relationships. As we have talked about relationships, as our esteemed Tawana, yourself, Ben, and Trina have shared. So the key thing is, even though LinkedIn allows you to join up to 50 groups, there is no need to join that many. The key thing is to search and identify groups with members who are experts in your industry. Also, look for groups that would have your prospective clients and customers. And look for groups which could be anywhere between 8 to 10 groups that you would be able to manage in your routine day-to-day affairs and be able to give your time and look for these criteria. See if these criteria match. And if they match, then you go for it. And let's take a step backward. Even before we are looking for joining the groups, identify your goals. What is the purpose of joining this group? If you know what your goal is, so for example, it could be reaching your prospective customers, then you're going to look for a group where you'll be able to showcase your expertise and show how you will be able to help these people. And it's possible that, you know, they may not all of them become your prospective customers, yet you could help them, and yet you could have prospective customers coming out of it. So look for what you're wanting to do with the groups. Are you wanting to connect with your customers, business, or colleagues? Is it about building your business? Is it about building relationships? So the way the groups can be done is, so for example, if you go in the groups category, you can do the keywords. So for example, you go for the advanced search. Filter it by relationships, groups, location, industry. And then also know that, you know, whether this group is active with daily discussions or not. And it should have at least a minimum of 15 members. You do not want a too large a group where if you put a post in and then within a day your post is pushed down. So you want a big group, yet not too small a group. So usually what's recommended is going between 75 to 500 members. So now you've found a group that interests you. Click on it, read through the description. So for example, let's say if you're doing business with real estate people, and if you find a real estate group that's local, what better way of connecting with people locally and reaching out to them, meeting them for coffee, lunch, or for a walk. And when you're part of this group, you can see not only who's in there, you can post your resources, share the information, as well as ask for information and advice yourself. And if the group is private, you may need to join and send in a request. Your request is reviewed by the group manager. If the group is public, you can join without waiting to be accepted. And you can also search through LinkedIn groups you may like. So these are the creative ways of joining the LinkedIn. However, what's the key things when you're part of the group that you can boost your relationship while sharing your content? Because you do not want to sound pushy. You do not want to overpromote yourself. LinkedIn is a group of professionals. So first, when you are there, it's not about you. It's about members of the group. It's about people you are servicing. So what I usually recommend is curate the content and share your expertise as well. So do a mix and match of it. What it shows is that you care about other people's content as well, and you do not mind sharing what's relevant. So the first key is create and share content relevant to the group, because by sharing information that will interest them, you're going to grab their attention, and people are going to say, this person cares about us. Another way to share your knowledge is, if you want to establish your brand as the leader, is creating how-to. Simple things. How to do, let's say if you're in real estate, how to do a search on LinkedIn for real estate, or a 10 checklist for real estate people. Or you can do a guide, which is an easy-to-follow step-by-step guide that will be helpful to members. And show them that, you know, they can turn to you for assistance. And as you are creating this information, people are going to start looking up to you. People are like going to say, oh, you know what? I need to turn to John. Let's say if you're talking about John, for information. And as you share, and it's not only about sharing, it's also about responding to somebody's comment. Because when you contribute to group discussions, what it does is you are participating in a conversation. And usually the statistics show that people who engage in group discussions get an average of 4 times as many profile views than anyone else. Or you could start just by simply asking questions. That's really a good way of connecting. Because, of course, one thing to keep in mind is that the questions that you're asking are relevant to the topic of the group. For example, if you're part of a career coaches group and you ask them, hey, can I get a real estate agent's information here? That would be totally irrelevant. The next thing is continuously engage with the group at least 2 to 3 times per week. Because if you're not engaging several times weekly, it's going to be difficult to keep up with discussions and you will lose noticeability. And one of the key things to keep in mind is that as you continuously contribute, it's going to show that you are influential within the group. And yes, there is the side bar next to your profile when you are inside the group, and it will show those 2 people, whoever has been contributing, and that way it gives you visibility as well. And of course, to keep in mind is that the contribution levels can be group specific and they're recalculated every day. So comment thoughtfully on other group members' discussions, start interesting discussions, and make sure that you're professional to the hilt, you're courteous, you're respectful, you're dignified. And yes, maintaining a presence on LinkedIn requires time and effort out of your busy schedule. Yet, it will not only help you in your job search, if you're an entrepreneur, it will help elevate your business as well.
Those are great tips, Divya, to share. And also, as you were speaking, it brought to mind as well that just as if you're going on a job interview, not only is the company interviewing you, you're also interviewing the company. So before joining a group, I like the fact that you can make a list of groups that pique your interest, and before you contribute, just spend a couple of days following the dialogue and see if it is a group fit for you. Because some groups, it may be a good discussion, but it may not be exactly what you're looking for. So take your time in selecting the groups you want to join and participate in, because as Divya mentioned, it's about getting engaged, getting involved, contributing, being a thought leader, more or less, and just sharing common ideas in a group, which can really, really boost your relationship building skills there. Divya, one question I also would like to walk around the table on is that, should I consider creating my own group?
Oh, absolutely. You can definitely create your own group. However, again, as I mentioned before you think of creating a group, see what are your goals for creating the group. And also sit down and prioritize. Identify whether you have time and resources to manage the group, whether the group is going to be private, whether it's going to be public. Are you going to cap off the membership? Do you have enough time and resources to go and seek relevant members? Who are you going to allow? What are the rules going to be? So again, depending on what your desired outcome is, the groups can be extremely beneficial because you're able to control it. You are the moderator, and it's easy for you to post the groups. It's easy for you to gather data. So, for example, initially the group creation, initially the group invitations for the memberships is going to be an uphill, consuming time. It's going to be time laborious. However, once you've established the group, you have the people that you want to work with, or these are the people you want to engage with. So you can have the marketing data. You can have the pain points at the fingertips. So it again sits down whether creating a group fits your time, efforts, and desired outcome at this point in time or not.
That is a very good point. So what I would like to do here is just do a quick roundtable of each coach, give a quick takeaway that they would like to share with our listeners. Starting with Ben.
Oh, nice. All right. Well, guys first today. What I was thinking about as we were talking, you guys remember the movie Baby Boom with Diane Keaton, and she was just, you know, super professional, executive woman, no kids, and she finally got a baby. And I remember the movie because the baby's name was Fern, and so they wanted to name the baby Fern, and so I remember she transitioned from a very, very corporate structure to a relaxed freelance environment of making baby food. And so how I'm making that make sense with LinkedIn is when you sit down to do your skills and, you know, potentially ask for endorsements or endorse other people. Be very strategic about that as well. But when you sit down and look at your skills, the reason why I mentioned that movie Baby Boom is that because even though she was an executive for a Fortune 500 company, when she went and started the company that she didn't even know she was starting to make baby food, there were still skills that she had to take from the previous profession and incorporate them into the new. So one of the things that we mentioned in our first series and we were very, very strong with is being strategic about LinkedIn. So when you go to sit down and list your skills, don't cheat yourself by saying, well, I'm looking for a job in my current profession as XYZ. Make sure that you go back and look at the last 5 to 15 years and incorporate each skill that's going to be a professional builder for where you're going now and extract the appropriate skill. Like I said, don't you know, in Baby Boom, she cut up apples. Don't say I cut apples very well. You know, it's about the business and it's about the marketing. It's about managing the finance. So I would tell people to be strategic about their skills and incorporate everything that they can, everything that they've learned and everything that they've adopted through their professional life.
Trina?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, are we doing things we learned or just additional tips? Okay.
Things that you learn.
Okay. Well, I have to say I really enjoyed Divya's section because I am one of those people that have randomly joined groups and I haven't really thought about strategically how to be involved with them. So, Divya, I am definitely going to take some of your tips to heart and I might end up leaving a few groups that I haven't been participating in. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. You're welcome.
Divya?
So, gosh, I've learned so much from all of you. One of the things that I really am taking away is it's about the quality and not the quantity from each and every one of you, Ben, Trina, Deborah, and Tawana, that one of the key things that matters of being on LinkedIn is quality, being your dignified self, and not holding it back.
Oh, that's powerful. Thank you. And Tawana.
Thank you, Deborah. My key takeaway from tonight is that, you know, we talked about the profile in the first of the series, and it's really just not enough to have a profile on LinkedIn, and that's one thing I try to impart with people as often as possible. It's how you build your network, engage your network, and really leverage LinkedIn as a place where you can exude your thought leadership. It's not just a place for a resume, you know, and I describe LinkedIn as the best career management tool on the planet. And to look at it in that full scope, I think will help people find better success within using the tool because it really is more than just a profile.
Thank you so much. Well, listeners, over this two-part series, I hope that we have transitioned you from where you initially started. Maybe it was you was unsure whether or not you should be on LinkedIn or whether you are on LinkedIn and wasn't sure how to get started. Over this two-part series, I hope we were able to give you clarity and a sense of direction where to start. Also, keep in mind, as I mentioned earlier, this was a very high-level review of LinkedIn, but we will be putting together a webinar to cover in depth how to really create a robust profile. I will also be conducting classes, online classes, on how to really build your brand with LinkedIn, and I will send out further information about that. And real quickly, I almost forgot everyone, please quickly share with the listeners how they can get in contact with you. And I'm going to start with Divya this time, Ben.
Well, thank you, Deborah, for having me on the show. It was such an honor and pleasure, as always. You can contact me by emailing me at contact@divyaparekh.com. And I look forward to meeting you. Thank you.
Trina?
Absolutely. You can visit me at my website at trinaramsey.com. Also, I'm on Twitter at Perspective Plus, and of course on LinkedIn, and my email is tramsey43@gmail.com. Thanks so much for having me. This was great. I really appreciate it.
And Trina, you have an upcoming retreat, right?
Yes, I do. Thank you for mentioning that. This will be my first time actually holding a women's retreat. It's a weekend retreat at a beautiful beach home in Ocean City, Maryland. It's going to be actually on my birthday weekend, May 1st through 3rd. And some people might think, why in the world would you be working on your birthday? But I don't consider this work. It's fun. So I'm looking forward to doing that. But you can find information about that by connecting with me one of those places, and I'd be happy to follow up with you. Thanks, Deborah.
And one more thing, Trina, that we are working on together along with Divya and Ben, and that is the Act of Kindness Challenge. Come on and share that with our listeners.
Absolutely, absolutely. Very exciting program that we have launched here at Life Coach Radio Networks. And we are really encouraging people to be kind, loving, and caring with one another. It's called the One Love, One People Kindness Emotion Challenge. And we challenge people to devote 10 days to actually doing a nice thing for another person every day. So it can be a random act of kindness. It can be forgiving someone, buying someone a cup of coffee, anything like that. And you can find information on that at lifecoachradionetworks.com, and we also have a Facebook group as well. Thanks, Deborah.
Oh, you're more than welcome, Trina. Ben?
All right. Thank you, Deborah. Thank you for including me. I feel so special that I'm in the company of you beautiful women. So thank you so much. I appreciate it. I am Ben Carter. You can contact me. My website is livellccoaching.com. As a matter of fact, go and register for a workshop that I'm going to be holding online March 10th at 7 p.m. Eastern. And it really is for people who are aware that they have a skill, a gift, a purpose, you know, something that they want to share in their career, in their lives, and we're going to shine the spotlight on those talents, gifts, skills. So register live online March 10th, and I can't wait to hear from everyone, and I can't wait for us to work together again. Thank you once again, Deborah. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're more than welcome. And Tawana.
Oh, thank you, Deborah. Well, of course, I can always be reached on LinkedIn, and I do accept all personalized connection requests. I also have a website, and that website is getoveryourselfcoaching.com. And, of course, your listeners can find me on Facebook, too. And I am My Coach Tawana on Facebook. And My Coach is one word, so My Coach space Tawana. And thank you again for the opportunity, Deborah. I thoroughly enjoy talking about LinkedIn. You know that. So thanks again, and I appreciate the opportunity.
You're more than welcome. Thank you, everyone. I am Deborah Mathis, and the best way to reach me is through my website, which is engagetosuccess.com, to schedule a discovery consultation with me and how I can help you reach your professional and personal goals. The Energy for Success podcast is happy to be sponsored by Life Coach Radio Network and Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. They have more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now. And if you sign up at our URL, which is audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio, you will receive one free audio book and a one-month trial of service. Today's radio podcast will also be available for download on facebook.com/lifecoachradionetwork and subscribe to iTunes. Thank you again for listening to Energy for Success. Have a energized day. Thank you. Good night, everyone.